All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. If you don't want to suck Huska's dick, you're not a real Flames fan. Podcast. Holy fuck, have I been arguing? Holy fuck, have I been arguing with you fellow Flames fans? All I said is I'm not a big fan of this guy. Like, Jesus. My thing is, like, why? Why are you such a big fan? What has he done for us? Aren't we, like, bottom third in all team stats across the board, except for the Michael? Isn't that not an accurate statement?
This is kind of, like, one of the things that's just been kind of, like, what would you say, like a broken glass where you just like sweep it under the rug, along with the fact that Huberto is just a sad sack of shit and he sucks.
Along with we never, ever, ever, and never will ever, ever again score on the power play.
Yeah, it's just these things we don't talk about anymore because it's like, what's even the point? It's like last year, it was the coach's fault. They changed the coach. The team's been markedly worse and nobody really ever talks about the coach.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a weird thing, eh? And if you do, you're not a Flames fan, you piece of shit.
I think Huska...
Everything. Daryl controlled the performance of all 23 players at all times. Strictly down to him. One man. He's such a dark overlord. He controlled everybody.
Hey, there's a dark cloud over the organization.
No, you're not allowed to turn left there. Turn right. He's got a... real-time speaker in everybody's ear at all times. Huberto, you suck. Ravens is what to say.
You suck.
It's like this Caddyshack. Noonan. It's like Huberto's coming on a breakaway. Daryl's on the bench in his ear. You fucking suck. You're going to miss this.
Or he's just like the jackass guy in Happy Gilmore. Yes. Except the jackass. I think this just comes up for me because like something that's been stumping a lot of people, I think a little surprisingly, is like, okay, the Flames have sucked on home ice this year.
Oh my God, we're terrible.
And they come out flat. It? I think they're like 12-14-1 at this point.
In the last, Francis said it in the intermission, so I tweeted it. Where is it here? Flames have one fucking win in their last 7 home games.
Oh.
And, dude, Reed Errol, this was a fucking issue season after season after season. One of Daryl's oaths was, we're going to be good at home. And under Daryl, this team was good at home. He flipped that script. Now post Daryl, we suck at home again.
Well, they suck at home
every,
and they're not prepared to start games at home. Is the biggest thing to me. It's like, no, oh, no. First period. What was that? They stunk out the joint.
Remember that second year under Bill Peters? It was just like this. We went to a game, remember? And it was like 20, was it LA Kings?
Oh, yeah. Shots were like 20 to 3.
23 to 3. And that was a very regular occurrence on home fucking ice. You're already out. It's like late in the first period. You're starting the second period. Look at the scoreboard. It's 1-0 for their team or 2-0 for their team. And the shots are 23 to 3. What are you doing? Like, what do these guys do to prepare? Dude. You get shut out on home ice by Detroit after losing to, are the Sharks the second worst team in the league? Where are they now? I know they're at the very fucking bottom. Are they the worst?
I think Chicago's still worst.
I can't beat them either though, eh?
But they're only like 2 points worse.
What was, what did you post? The bottom five teams were what? 3-5 and?
It's something like 5-8-1 or something bad.
Just this season alone?
Well, they've lost to Chicago. They've lost to San Jose. They lost to Columbus. They lost to Ottawa, right?
Can't remember.
They've lost to all the bottom teams. Be prepared at home. That's like, I feel like that's like a pretty bare minimum of like what you can expect from a coach is like, could you have the guys prepared to play on home ice?
No, he's awesome. Huska's awesome. You're not a real fan. Move on. Find another team. I love watching my team stink on home ice. Imagine paying money. You go watch that.
Can you imagine the poor people? Like yesterday, it was kind of like an afternoon game. It's a family game. You see that turd fest?
Yeah, it was probably some family day, or maybe that's tomorrow. Yeah, it's probably
tomorrow. I'm sure they'll put on a real show tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Can't
for the
wait.
Kids.
For the kids. This one's for the kids. And then, you know, you get people in the comments. Well, what do you expect? The roster sucks. I expect if your roster sucks, you better sure as shit show some fucking effort. You can't have both. You can't be bad and not try. It's one or the other. Ideally, it's both on the good side. What was Wayne Gretzky's greatest quote? And I'm like, I know for a fact. I played sports and, you know, competitive shit long enough time, you know, this is so true. The only thing that beats hard work is talented hard work. Talent, you can't win on talent. If you're not working hard, even though you're talented, you'll get beat by plugs if they're working harder than you.
The Flames are 3-5 this year against the bottom five teams in the league. They've lost to Ottawa once. They've lost to Columbus twice. They haven't lost to Anaheim yet. They lost to the Sharks, and they're 1-1 against the Blackhawks.
Yeah, we're supposed to be praising Huska. And look, I'm not trying to point the blame by any means. All I'm saying is that I'm not a fan currently. What has he done? He has not won me over.
Well, the team's markedly worse defensively. The team has not improved offensively.
The power play still sucks. The biggest balls on planet Earth. The biggest ones.
It's so bad.
Could they get any bigger? Like, any bigger, they wouldn't even fit in the goddamn saddle dome.
And the thing that's, like, if you watch that game against the Red Wings, it was just like, they still can't even break out of their own zone, you know? It's like, we're still dealing with, like, oh, they're still making, and it's not just, like, the young guys making these errors. It's like, Weegar, Coleman, the guys who you rely on to be really solid players for you on a night-to-night basis. Like, they're still making these. The defensive zone coverage against the Sharks was, like, peewee level. It was so bad. These mistakes and these breakdowns are still happening. What, 50? How many games into the season?
Coaches' systems are great.
Yeah.
On what basis? Like, I keep seeing this. It's not by any means the majority of people. I'm just saying, like, there's arguments out there that the Husky is doing a terrific job, a great job, an exceptional job.
What are the Flames exceptional at?
The penalty kill.
And that's all. If you look at the underlying numbers, they give up an absolute shit ton on the penalty kill, but Markstrom's save percentage on the penalty kill has been batshit insane good. So that's all Markstrom. So what are they good at other than Markstrom? What are they exceptional at? Does this team have an identity? Does this team do anything well? Not really.
No. Can't even show up at home. You already had your fucking... You already blew it for the one excuse game where you're allowed to blow it. Your first game back after road trip. Fuck, am I sick of hearing that. Yeah, I make 10.5 mil a year, so I don't want to fucking not be tired for those ones. I'm just going to dog it.
Flames are currently 15th in the league in shot attempts percentage. They are 22nd in the league in goals for percentage. Expected goals for percentage, they are 18th. They're really not good at a lot of things. Really anything.
And like I said, I'm not pinning anything on anything. All I'm saying is, yes, our roster is getting worse because we're starting to sell off assets. So that's to be expected. But like my biggest thing is you should never be shut out on home ice and look that bad.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of a funny caveat because you hear this a lot, right? Like from management or whoever, where it's like, well, we don't want to have a culture of losing. We don't want to this and that. Well, then those kind of losses should be totally unacceptable. And is the coach doing anything about those things? I don't know.
Maybe it's time for another Jonathan Huberdeau benching, eh?
I think
we can watch him read the font on a stick for 5 minutes.
I think somebody should be benched. I'd like to see that.
And again, like honestly, I don't. The only thing that bothers me about the last two games, and the Sharks game doesn't even really bother me. That one's just a weird one, and we'll talk about Dustin Wolf here in a sec, but. When you put that type of performance back to back and you already suck at home for the last, stretch of 7 games, like where's the fucking effort, dude? And we saw Daryl correct it. These guys were always ready to play under Daryl. We're tired of that. It's too difficult to be ready to play. We just want to cash our checks. And I mean, I don't know, dude, like this is probably worth having a conversation, but I mean, everybody's the whole Tortorella comment. It's going viral, right? What do you call it? A dumb league. And he's basically speaking to this as like the players now just expect. They don't necessarily feel like they have to earn it and work for it. I don't even think he's talking about a nightly basis, just in general. Just coming into the league. And I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But like, man, we got some monster contracts. And I guess Kadri's having a good season and that line's going, right? But I mean, other than Pospisil and Zari, like, did you get much emotional input from anybody else?
Are you kidding me?
60 minutes of getting shellacked by the Detroit Red Wings?
Was anybody even awake for that game? I didn't. Again, there wasn't one player who had any juice other than Pospisil, and that's probably on most nights generally.
Yeah, your two rookies are leading your team again. These are all, I guess this is still the leftover of Brad's, veteran presence lineup, eh?
Well, see, that again, that's what I'm saying is like, that's what kind of always cracks me up is with the like, well, we want to keep these veteran guys, you can't just like hand it over to the kids, and they're the ones coming in with a winning culture. Yep, these old exactly. Farts on these massive deals who don't seem to give a shit, who are going to perpetuate this quote unquote culture of losing.
Man, I don't think I want to be here anymore.
Like
Huberdeau's probably just like, oh, why can't I get traded? Cause you suck.
Like
they put
that before, like, that bugged me too, is that they've done this to Wolf a couple times, and listen, he was bad, but they just like, they were so bad in front of him. Like, they can't get juiced up to support that guy in a tough start for him. Like, right. Man, oh man. Like, giving the puck away like crazy, like just brutal.
Remember the Carolina game where they won with the e-bug?
Exactly.
And they treated that guy like he was fucking royalty. Dustin Wolf comes in. It's just a nerd game.
Just yeah.
Got nothing to play for. I mean, it's our first game off a road trip. No one cares if we lose this.
We won three in a row. We're king shit now. It's like Gully. It's like old glue guns, old line. Ah, you think you won a few games? You think you're good big shit now, eh? Before a stick toss.
That was awesome. Glue guns?
Glue gun, Glenn Gulletson. Isn't that what they called him?
Is that his nickname?
Gulu, glue gun. I don't know. I was fucking dumb, Gully. Whatever it is.
Gully. Eh? Wardo Gully.
Wardo Gully.
What do they call Huska?
They call
Huska. Husky. I guess his name already is kind of like a
Huska. That's already a slang name, yeah. I didn't hear anybody calling Mr. Sutter to you.
And like I said, I don't care if we're losing.
It's great we're losing, but.
But you don't want this. What is that, dude? There's where was the effort? Where was anybody giving a shit? You already had your one loss. And you got to be careful because you keep hearing this culture. This is how you can easily turn into Buffalo. And so maybe that's why I'm a little running hard, Huska's ass a little bit harder right now. It's just like, it's not acceptable, man. Unacceptable. Why the fuck did the power play go 0-10 in those last two home games? Is it that fucking hard?
Against San Jose and Detroit. I mean, Detroit's a decent team. But
San Jose has the worst. San Jose has the worst penalty kill in the league.
Dude, you got shut out by James Reimer. And you beat by Reimer and Mackenzie Blackwood.
Wow.
Did you happen to catch any of the 5-on-3 from yesterday's game? Worst 5-on-3 I've ever seen.
When was the last time this team scored a 5-on-3 goal? Is it this fucking century? It just seems like it's like the power play. I don't expect him to score. Let's see if we can't get scored on. How about that? 5-on-3.
Which is usually a pretty big ask.
They're still rolling with Hannafin on that PP1, eh?
Oh, yeah. Maybe they're just pumping his trade value. If they want to pump his trade value, they take him off the power play.
Oh, shit.
Because that exposes his biggest weakness.
Gee, this guy really has zero finish.
This guy really has zero offensive hockey sense. Look at him. He's floating. All right.
He can skate like the wind, though.
He's like Happy Gilmore, but with his skating.
Exactly. What's your take on Huska? And again, I'm not pointing the finger at him by any means. I'm just saying that he has not moved the needle.
He's not, exactly.
Is he part of the solution currently? I don't think so. Currently, no. And I'll give him a longer rope. He's his first year. He's dealing with a lot of changeover in roster and a team that's heading in the other direction, a bit of a rebuild. All I'm saying is that he's not making us better currently.
He's given the young guys a chance, and that's pretty much the only, I think that's, at this point, the only thing you can look at and attribute to him as a positive influence he's had on this team.
Yeah. 100%. The same time, it's just like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, someone was saying that, look at how he's helped Zari and possible soul. I'm just like those guys earned it themselves. You telling me you're going to credit Huska for Zari's ability to make this team with the performance? 20 games straight, he was our best player.
Pospisil and Zari came in and pretty much turned the team around on their own.
Yes. I credit the players for that. Yeah. And Huska gave him the opportunity.
Yeah.
And he also recognized, I'll give him credit for that. He recognized play him with Kadri and have him as, higher up in the top six and reward them for that. I'll give him that. But I need more. And I did see a lot of people saying, can we just see him fucking get mad or something?
He's going to blow one of these days.
5-0 loss on home ice.
Serenity now, insanity later.
All right, let's move on for the loss. Dustin Wolf, dude. Oh. if you really go back and look at each goal, he was also a victim of some crazy ass bounces
and some really bad turnovers. Like, I mean, when's the last time Chris Tanev scored a goal on his own net? Never.
Yeah, you can't blame that one on Dustin Wolf, even though it doesn't look good with the bulk of goals that went in when you have that one too. But it's just a fucking, it's a shitty game for Wolf.
Really bad game. And I mean, what, he hasn't started in 2 months? And then you're getting like Weegar makes a, throws a pizza up the ice. Coleman like gives the puck away. That's a pretty much a breakaway. It's hard to come in. It's hard to come in as a goalie like that on a team who's excelling defensively.
Well, especially when you're not
giving alone the Flames.
Especially when you're not giving regular starts. When was the last time?
How many games has he played this year? Six. He's played six games this year.
When was his last NHL game for?
It was like it was like 2 months ago.
Yeah. So like, fuck off.
Yeah. Like
you're gonna tell me you can predict the rest of his NHL career based on coming in and playing one game after 2 months of not seeing NHL action?
I think the last time he was in that Vegas game where I think he let in like five goals, but I remember him making some big saves early before it kind of got away from him. But that's back in December. That's more than 2 months ago. And like goaltending is all rhythm. That's tough to come in. And he didn't look great, but goalies have bad games.
And you know, you have to adjust to a different speed and style of, you know, hardness of shot. Like it's way better hockey in the NHL.
Yeah, it's a bit of a jump up. And I mean, I know everyone's freaking, oh, he looks so small. Yeah, he's small. That's going to be a challenge for him in his career. Everybody's got their weaknesses.
Plus, we've been watching Markstrom for 30-plus games. I mean, Vladar is big, too. Like, he's going to be small by comparison, yes, relatively speaking. Yeah. I mean, what? He is still bigger than Saros?
I think he's like the same size as Saros. I mean, they might be listed a little differently, but he's very similar.
Yes, he did look small. And yes, when he's falling over, you know, trying to go side to side, it doesn't look good. And the hole in that's empty and he's just a little body there. But I think you have to. It's kind of like the underlying number thing, right? You have to err on the side of point to all the rest of his numbers up until now, career.
Exactly. This is a guy who's setting records every week in the AHL for like 3 years. Like, youngest goalie to ever get to 60 wins. He's the only goalie ever to win the goalie of the year back-to-back in the AHL. He's like the first guy in like 20 years, the first goalie in like 20 years to win league MVP in the AHL. He's been elite his entire career, and he has one bad game, and like everyone was freaking out.
What was that's his seventh NHL start. There's a lot of people saying, "Oh no, none of his starts have been good." I don't agree with that.
Yeah, no.
Has he put his stamp on an entire game? I don't think so. Like he's had some really good periods, I think, from what I've seen in his seven games that are sporadically strewn about over a 2 year stretch.
Well,
has he even started two games straight?
No. And again, goaltending is all rhythm. It's huge. Are you kidding me?
That's probably the most challenging part is getting thrown in there. And like he didn't even know he was playing.
Yeah, he even said in postgame, he's like, "Yeah, I didn't know I was going tonight." Which, hey man, like I kind of get the indication there was a trade that possibly could have gone down and they threw him in there last minute, but
are you telling me he's not going to be preparing all day differently if he knows he's like, and there's so much a goalie, so much of the game is mental.
Yeah, goalies especially.
Yeah. So like that's one that you fucking just, that is one. You pull the game tag and just fucking throw it in the garbage.
Yeah, for him and the entire team. The team was an absolute, I was more pissed at the team for letting him down and like, really poor performance. So many poor turns. Like, just they were a freaking mess, dude. It was brutal.
Yeah, not a good game.
Terrible game. Like, you outplay the Sharks, probably, but in terms of the mistakes made and just fine details of the game, you definitely did. So you just throw that one in the shitter. And
even finishing ability. It's the same old story.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the story last night, too.
Yep.
Outshoot them. What did they outshoot them? Like 34 to...
What was it? 5-0, and I think like this is in the third period. 5-0, Detroit has like 16 shots on net.
Yeah, the Flames outchance the Red Wings yesterday 41-24. High danger 11-7. Shots were 38-21. Lose 5-0. Well, and I think if you, because this was kind of my point during, because you know, like, it's been a weird season because people are kind of, you get sucked in when they win three, then they lose three, then they inevitably lose three, and everyone's like, wow, we fucking suck. And they win three, and they're like, wow, they're actually like only 4 points out of a, if you squint, they're like kind of in the playoff. Yeah, and then they lose three again, and it's like, yeah, we suck. Then they win three again, and you're like, wow, we're right back in it. But this was kind of my point during the last winning streak was like, yeah, you know what? You played a pretty good game against Boston. You hung in there with some really good teams, but if you look at the numbers and you just were watching those games, that's still, you're winning those games because Markstrom kept you in. Markstrom pretty much was the best player on the ice every single night on that road trip.
Well, he was the best player in NHL that week.
Exactly. And then you see like the last two games are kind of like, this is kind of what the Flames, this is the true Flames when Markstrom's not playing at the top of his game. They can't score. They can't take over games. They don't play with a lot of energy. They don't really do much of anything.
Sounds like Huberto.
Even when they're, yeah, exactly. Even when they're controlling the play, like the shot attempts yesterday was like something out of the season prior. They had like 85 shot attempts yesterday and didn't score.
Was the effort there for you?
No.
Was it just skewed because you're losing 5-0?
I don't think so. It just, and again, that's always a hard thing to gauge, but when there's no energy, you can tell there's no energy. There's no juice. It's just like, ugh.
There's no air in the building. Just.
And the second they scored, like, this was something that happened a lot last year too, which was like, it wasn't as bad as I'm remembering now that the first period, they were okay. But then Detroit scores like bang, bang. And it was like the air came out of the building and the air came out of the bench. And it was just like, yeah, we're done.
Yeah, pretty much. And they were flat from then on. They got flatter and flatter as game went on.
Like, and we've kind of seen them with some comebacks, which is this year, which has been a bit of a different story than last year. But still, that tends to happen when it's like, oh, fuck. Yeah, we're done. And then everybody kind of just like disappears and you don't see Huberto for the rest of the game. And it's like, oh, yeah, Huberto's playing. Oh.
Yep. Chalk it up under one of those things we're just to be expected now. Pospisil is kind of like the new Chucky, just, you know, skill levels in a different stratosphere.
Yeah, you could say that. What did Kachuk have, like 5 points yesterday?
Yeah, well, they were 9-2 against the Bolts?
Yeah, 9-2. Kachuk, he had 4 points. Bennett had 4 points, too.
What'd you say? Yeah, I love watching.
It's fun. Not only do the Flames suck, right? And you lose to Detroit and San Jose, and it's like our whole team we're having to trade everybody. But then it's like you turn to the other channel, it's like the two highest draft picks in franchise history are leading another team to like Stanley Cup finals. And I think the Panthers are now like tied with Boston for the best team in the East. That's fun.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah.
Yeah. Just really enjoy that. Watching. Oh, yeah. They've passed Boston for tops in the league. I really love watching the two highest draft picks in Flames history just rip up the league.
Just the best. And they really miss Huberto and Weegar.
Dude, since they traded those guys, they've been to their second cup final in league history, and they're on their way to, like, probably the only team in the East you can see competing, being like a legit Stanley Cup threat. Maybe if, Boston, but
if the Panthers go deep again, and if they continue on this, you know, being a top five team, for multiple years, and if they somehow win a cup, that may go down as the best trade in history.
Well, I think it's already one of the best trades in history, given that the guy that they traded away had the biggest drop-off in points in NHL history and is on pace for less this year. And the guy they got is like a top five player in the league. So,
not to mention he's in his first, is it 8 years? Is it 8 years?
Well, it's only 7 after this one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, just 7 more to go, eh? Dude, 10.5? Does he? So he makes more than Chucky?
Oh, yeah. He makes $1 million more than Chucky. I mean, I guess taxes and everything, it all equals out, but... And he's sad, so there's that. He's probably got to pay for his therapy sessions, which probably is a large chunk.
No joke. I know this is outrageous, but... Huberto should literally just say, here's $1 million to all you Flames fans.
He should. Are you kidding me? That would be...
I don't deserve 10.5.
He should give five.
I don't deserve 5, but here's one. I'll take 9.5 this year. Here's $1 million.
Let's say he gave $2 million. That seems fair, right?
That seems fair.
How many people fit in the saddle room on any given night? At least 19,000 plus. Let's say he gave $2 million. Give everybody in the rink $105.
Here's your ticket price back. How about that?
Yeah, he should.
I want to reimburse everybody for that fucking game against the Detroit Red Wings. Whoever was there, come redeem your ticket.
At the end of the year.
Yeah. Not everybody's going to do it anyways.
Yeah, so.
It's not even going to cost him $2 million. Mm-hmm.
They do the end of the year like jersey off our back thing.
Yeah, here's $1 million.
Should be end of the year. I'm contract. I'm just gonna give you everybody gets $1 million. Or he should do like the 50-50 should come out of like his salary or something, one night only.
All right, schedule. I mean, here's the thing. Like, hey, I was back in optimistic land on the last podcast.
Well, hey, I'm feeling as gloomily as we've started this, I'm happy now. Like the rebuild's gonna happen. Like this is great.
Yes, good. Noah Hanifin.
Like sounds like Markstrom could be traded. Hanifin's definitely being traded. Like this is everything. This is everything that in the summer when it all came out that I was like nobody wants to be in Calgary. They all want to be traded. We were like fuck yes. And then we kind of got like cock blocked a bit, but now it's like back to being that, and I'm excited again.
They beat Boston, New Jersey, and the Islanders.
It's funny because, again, like with the yo-yoing, I know it's been weird, but I don't know if it has been that weird because, you know, you hear this excuse thrown out for the Flames where, oh, they play down to their competition. They took the Sharks too lightly. They took the, you know. Like, well, how can they beat the Bruins and the Devils and the Islanders and then lose to San Jose and Detroit? Well, by that logic, like, we're the team that good teams take lightly because we're not a good team.
Yep.
Like, Boston seeing us on the schedule is, like, probably they take us lighter than we take the Sharks. Like, Boston seeing us on the schedule is a more lightly taken opponent than the Flames seeing the Sharks on the schedule. So that's probably a factor, right? Like Boston's like, yeah, we're playing the Flames tonight. They stink.
Yeah, big time. But the Flames, look, they came out, they dominated.
Like, they played good. They played really
that
good.
That may be their best game of the year.
But that may have been the Bruins' worst game of the year, too. Like they were they were sleepy.
Yeah.
So
over an 82-game schedule, that's going to happen multiple times. Where one team is fucking raring to go, and they might be shitty, and maybe the good team's not, and they're going to get you. I mean, so coming up on the schedule, you got Winnipeg tomorrow. I don't see how you're going to beat Winnipeg unless they're tired.
Sean Monahan firing on all cylinders.
Yes!
He scored a sweet goal last night.
I'm just pulling up the Jets' schedule here. So they are...
They beat Vancouver last night.
All right, so they're just doing a little two game
Pacific Division. They beat Vancouver, yeah. So they should be able to beat us easy. But you never know.
They might start their backup who might shut us out. So
they might take us easy.
Yeah.
You got to think the Flames are going to come ready prepared to play tomorrow.
I don't know. Although, well, here's the other
1 o'clock game, though.
Yeah, here's the other thing that seems to be, and maybe we should factor this into them having a shitty start and maybe not, even though I'll blame Huska more than other people. But I can't imagine all this like trade talk is like helping things. Like Markstrom did not look sharp last night, yesterday.
No.
And it's probably hard, right? Like there's all the speculation all the time. I know there are pros and all that, but it is still difficult.
No, for sure.
Seems to be getting to them.
If you're going through anything in your life and there's a unknown of what's going to happen, but yeah, you're right. It's, but like you said, they're pros and going on the ice should be the one place where you don't have to think about anything. So maybe it messes with your preparation a bit. But, you know, on the other hand, like a pack of hyenas can take it a line. You just played fucking great against Boston. Not much has changed in a week. Maybe I guess there's the trade talks have amped up a little bit more, but.
We know hockey games move fast. But with the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
So take care of some business and get these guys back to being able to play hockey, Conroy.
What's Conroy's next move?
I think imminently. Well, shit, man. Like, I don't know. It sounds like the Markstrom thing got pretty close. There was differing reports from different people as to how close it got with the Devils.
Well, the last I heard, I can't remember if someone was a Dreger saying that what he thinks happened is the Devil said, here's our offer. And there was a short time that it was open for because they didn't want Connor to take that offer and go shop it around. Well, obviously Connor can't tell them what the other offers are, but he can't take that offer as leverage against a whole bunch of other teams and try and get a little bit more out of somebody else, which is good. That's good negotiating. But I don't know. Obviously, if it was a short time frame, it didn't pan out. But was it who was saying it? Was it Francis? I can't remember. There's so many people reporting on it.
Yeah.
I think I sent it to you. Somebody's saying no, it seems like it's just going to be a matter of time, but it's going to get done at some point.
Francis kind of, I think he outright said, I don't know if he tweeted or he said it on the broadcast, it's his opinion that it gets done. I don't know. He's kind of usually hit or miss with stuff like that. But when he does say it, like, because I remember earlier in there, he was like, a Hanifin extension is getting done for sure. And that that totally fell through. So, I don't know. Sometimes Francis is a mouthpiece for the owners. He obviously has connections with agents, which just seems where he gets a lot of his information from. But he did say that, it's probably going to happen with Markstrom. The holdup, I've heard various different things. So Frank Seravalli said that it got to the point where the Flames asked Markstrom to waive his no move and that he did. But then Pierre Lebrun, TSN, said that it never got to that point and the Flames hadn't gone to Markstrom with it to approve a trade yet.
How do you get all these different?
I don't know.
Is it just the telephone game, or you got actual people? Misinformation is actually part of the negotiating strategy. If you're
based on what Steinberg, it must. The other thing is too, like teams will leak it too, right? Like,
and they might leak misinformation on purpose.
And that's kind of what the impression I got from some of the guys who were actually have intel on the Flames, like Steinberg and Francis, were saying like the Flames. They said it without saying it. Like, the Flames aren't leaking any of this. This is mostly coming from, like, Devils leaks. So my guess is the Devils are kind of, like, feeding some insiders some stuff to kind of, like, either make this happen faster or get Craig moving on stuff. So I don't know. You can really never trust anybody except the guys in Calgary when it comes to Calgary information. Pierre LeBrun usually has good info. So Darren Dreger, is he cousins? What is he with? He's related to Dave Nonis somehow. So he usually has credible info on the Flames these days. I'd be surprised if it didn't happen at this point. It seems like a genie you can't put back in the bottle. Like,
yeah,
this seems like, okay, now that it's this far along, it's got to happen. Like, you've heard all along that Markstrom does not like trade rumors. He's not, so I can't imagine he's particularly happy. And his post-game presser last night was not particularly friendly. The media were asking about it, and he was pretty much just like, fuck off, stop asking me about it. I don't know. It feels like if the Devils and Flames had gotten this far down the road, there's probably a deal to be made at some point. Unless the salary retention just becomes impossible for the Flames or just something. Yeah, I don't know.
So in what scenario would it, though?
I guess if the Flames just didn't want to retain as much salary as they might have to.
Well, why wouldn't they? If they're foreseeing they're going to need to be using that salary in the next 2 years?
I doubt it. And I had also heard from someone else that that wasn't an issue. I've heard varying reports on that, that Flames ownership would be willing to eat the money.
If Connery is seeing straight, which all signs point to that he is, this was also leaked, or was it Connery? I can't remember who said it or where I heard it. But Connery and the management is now aiming at trying to be competitive as soon as the new rink is. That's kind of like their time, right? When the new rink is built.
Well, he kind of indicated this. He had an interview just after he traded Lindholm on Barnburner, and he pretty much said it. Like, that was the, if you, you didn't even really have to read between the lines. It was like, you could, he was talking about like a 3-year plan. We have a new rink coming. The plan seems to be ready to roll once the new rink comes, which is, thank God, that's a good plan.
Yeah. Well, I don't see why retaining for the next 2 seasons is going to be an issue, a sticking point for Connie.
Yeah, that to me, it doesn't seem like that's an issue to me, unless it's just like a strict cap thing that like the Flames, I don't know. I've heard various reports that the sticking point was the retention, and then other people have said it's not the sticking point. So
it just doesn't make sense that it would be, but anyways.
My guess is Conroy is just trying to leverage the shit out of this and get the best package he can get.
Oh yeah, he's got that giant win under his belt. He's thirsty for more.
Oh yeah, he's dying. Exactly. You got any more of those trades, Craig? And I mean, I think the other factor is in this is like kind of like New Jersey's probably kind of assessing where they're at. I think they'd be for me, like, because they were kind of like, oh, are they in it? They're like 4 points out. Now they've.
It doesn't matter. You got them for fucking 2 more years after this.
Exactly. They've strung a few more games. They've strung some games together where they're like right back in it. I think they're like only 2 points out of a playoff.
Yeah, they are. They're 2 points. They're 2 points behind Detroit.
But I think the Devils, usually I would say don't overpay for a goalie. But like, given the fact that they have Jack Hughes and the guys they have on like killer deals, really all they need is a goalie right now, and they'd be rolling. So
dude, that's all they've needed for multiples. The sense brother left, probably.
If I had to put my take on it, I would say Conroy's probably holding up, because I remember back in the Conroy draft, the Devils drafted Dawson Mercer, and the Flames had the pick right after the Devils. And as soon as the Devils drafted Mercer, the Flames traded down like twice. So I kind of get I think the consensus was Mercer was their guy back then, and they wanted him.
Yeah.
He's a great player. I still think they want him. He's a center. My guess would be that's maybe who Connie's trying to like leverage out of there.
Oh, could be nice to have some young skill, eh? So you have to watch old balls fucking Huberto. Do nothing.
Hey, Dawson Mercer going to score 50 with me. You have not seen
that. Oh, he playing with me. Put him on my line. Put a new guy on my line. Nobody's seen nothing yet. 50 goal coming.
And again, that would fall right in line with what Conroy was saying he's after, which is a 24 younger centerman. So, but that's just me totally speculating.
Man, it would be tantalizing, eh? The fucking thing. That Conroy trade for Lindholm was so awesome. Yeah. And I do like Kuzmenko, and I think he's gonna fit well here in the next few seasons. But obviously the big wins are, you know, more of the future pieces coming back from that trade for the Flames. So we don't have yet to see them. But it would be nice to have a young guy that is already playing in the – is Mercer playing in the NHL now?
Oh, yeah. He had 27 goals last year. 56
It would be nice to have a young stud.
Yeah, I don't know, like, again, like, we're dreaming here, but you just look at New Jersey's depth chart and it's like, obviously having a guy like Mercer is great, but given that they have, what do they have down the middle? They have Heischer, they've got Hughes, they got Timo Meier. Like, it feels like they could definitely give up Alex Holtz and be just as competitive. So now it's like, do you really want to pay the price and get a goalie? Then we'll take your best young player. So I don't know. I have no clue where Devils fans are on that. I'd imagine they wouldn't be all that stoked to give up Mercer for a 34-year-old goalie. But hey, man, that's the thing that I think more NHL GMs are realizing is that don't do a Bradtree Living and outweigh your window to win. When you're in a window to win, you fucking go for it.
Yeah, you don't believe in the group when you have who's the goalie back there?
They've got Vanacek and who's the other guy they got there? The Dawes, Nico Dawes and Akira Schmid. Yeah, who are these guys?
They need a goalie, dude. Because they could, if they do have Markstrom and he plays the way he's playing for the rest of the season and he's close to how he's having, his next season is even close to this one. That's a good trade for the Devils. I'm not necessarily saying based on what if they do have to give up Mercer or not, but regardless, it will make them better.
Oh, absolutely.
And like you said, I guess it's all a timing thing, right? It's all a timing thing. The goal for every NHL team is to win the Stanley Cup, or maybe it's not, but I think it is the ultimate goal for every franchise, is it not? Are some teams just like, nah, we just want to make money every year. We're happy with that. I don't think so. You build your team to go for it.
Unless you're Bradtree Living.
I mean, you got to think at this point, if you're a Jersey, and you're long, even if you're a longtime Jersey fan or, you know, mid-long time, you had Martin Brodeur for how many years? And you know the value of fucking, you know, reliable, excellent, world-class goaltending. And you've had to put up with shitty goaltending for how many seasons now? And it could be the only thing holding your team back. Like, Jersey was unreal last year, regular season.
Well, they started out this year gangbusters too.
Weren't they? Who did they get? They lost in the first round, right?
And they play the Rangers.
It was seven games.
Or did they win the first round?
I feel like I can't remember now.
All I remember is Chucky going on. That's all of my memory. They played. They played the Rangers. They beat the Rangers in round one in seven games. They lose to Carolina in five games in round two.
So, you know, that's probably just, you know, seven game series or take a lot out of guys and the experience factor. But I think at this point, like Detroit, they didn't look that great, dude. I don't necessarily think. I mean, especially if
the Devils can pick up. Dude, their goalie is Alex Lyon and James Reimer.
Hey, good enough to beat the Flames, bro. Good enough to shut the Flames out, bro. Don't know why I'm talking like that, but yeah, if the Devils could get Markstrom, I don't see how they don't make the playoffs. And the fact that they're, you know, in the past week and a half, where the trade rumors have amped up between the Flames and the Devils for Markstrom, now that they're this much closer back into the playoff picture, it's probably makes more sense for them. It's probably a good thing for us.
Well, yeah, it's a good, the fact New Jersey, like I said, is kind of not clawed back into it, but has like, yeah, they're in the playoff race again. Cause it looked like maybe for a second there, I was like, yeah, man, you might have to squint to see them getting in, but they're 2 points back of Detroit right now with the same amount of games played.
They got Hughes back.
Tampa's kind of like spiraling. Hughes is back. Like, I mean, Philly's
gonna have Markstrom in a week from now.
Exactly. Even if you don't get Mercer, like if the Flames can get a good package for Jacob Markstrom, Craig's going to do it.
Our second worst player last season.
Yeah. And guys,
the second biggest reason why we lost, we missed the playoffs. The number one reason why we fucking got shit canned by the Oilers.
Yeah.
If we get a haul back for Markstrom, like, and that's the thing. It's just like, you see so many different rhetorics online, but
yeah,
I think the consensus is, yo, trade him now. His trade value will never be higher than it currently is.
Well, and not only will it never be higher, you'll never probably have this opportunity to cash in like this. Because you know what? Like, everybody knows this. Like, rebuilding is kind of a long thing, you know? But if you can... Because I was just looking, I keep coming back to Dallas and I was like, holy shit, like Dallas absolutely nails the 2017 draft and completely rebuilds their organization with one draft, essentially. Obviously, it took more drafts than that, but you get Jason Robertson, Jake Oettinger, and Miro Heiskanen in one draft. And you know what? The Flames, if you look at that 2015 or 2016 scene, holy fuck, I can't speak today. If you look at that 2016 draft, the Flames kind of almost did the same thing a little bit, where you get Kachuk miraculously falls to you at six.
Oh, fuck. I can't believe Vancouver did that, dude.
Yeah, like they take Oli. Like, oh, man. Dude, is there an argument that he goes? No, there isn't. He goes second overall in a redraft. Matthews goes first. Chucky goes one, and it's not even a question.
Yeah, who was second, Laine?
Yeah, Laine is second. PLD was third. The Oilers take Puljujärvi at four. Vancouver takes... I mean, we can't laugh because we fucked it up anyways and lost the goddamn guy. But anyways, like the Flames, they did draft Adam Fox that draft, right?
Great due diligence there.
Yeah, but the year before they had also drafted Shillington and Anderson in the same year and Dubé, but...
Was there reports on, did Fox tell the team beforehand?
I feel like it was common knowledge at the time, but it wasn't like, oh,
no, you like it. Did they didn't even have a bean?
I think they did.
No, he likes it here.
He likes it in Calgary.
I just had an hour longer conversation. He loves it here. He's staying.
I can't quite remember. I think it was a concern. Because he was a college player, so that was always a concern. But I don't think it was like, I don't think he told anything to the team, or it wasn't like a Lindros situation where he was like, yeah, I'm not going to play for you. I think he was just a total dick about it eventually. But anyways, back to my point about like the Stars turning their team around in like one draft. Like, not that the Flames turned their team around, but you look at the 2015 draft and the 2016 draft where they picked, you have Shillington, Anderson, Matthew Tkachuk, Adam Fox, I guess. Within two years. If you just for argument's sake, say you get a player even like half of Adam Fox's caliber, those are four building block pieces you added to your draft in 2 years with minimal draft picks. You didn't even have a first round pick. And you had already drafted Bennett and Monahan and had Gaudreau at that point. Loading up on picks is just going to be so important for this team. Because I know everybody wants players now. I want that too. But this is really the way to do it.
when
have
Connie,
as many picks as possible.
When did Connie start working with the Flames? What year was it?
Oh, man. I think it was like it was back before Brad even. It was like 2010, Jay Feaster era. He had like some assistant to the traveling secretary role.
What is that? Just gives hand jobs every night? Or...
Isn't that George's?
You got to earn it. That's in this league. Hey?
Jay Feaster.
Bring me my popcorn.
Put some condiments on my hot dog. More relish.
I don't like relish. I like mustard only. Well, you know what? He actually started, I even think, sooner than that. Because remember, he like retired and then like started working for them like immediately.
The only reason why I ask is he seems on it. And I know you're currently, what do you do on your Instagram there? The fan club member writing the, what is it?
Oh, yeah. We're on the Kuzmenko fan club.
Yeah, so you're on the Craig Conroy leading the bandwagon. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was pretty, I started off kind of trepidatious because, but.
Yes, but currently, it like, yes, he just knocked one to the park and you're only as good as your last at bat. So let's hope he keeps doing it. But I just asked how long he's been kind of behind the scenes because maybe he knows what he's doing. Like, all right, right now, all signs point to. He's doing a bang up job. The way he's handling Hanifin, the way he's handling Markstrom currently. I haven't heard any other TANF rumors, but you got to think that that's coming down the pipe as well. When you lose to the second worst team in the league at home, followed up by a shutout at home and just look like ass, get booed off the ice again. He knows he's not waiting. There's no reason to wait for anything. And I guess he probably already knows that, but he's just probably shopping around and trying to amp up as much competition for some of these, you know, trade proposals from other GMs around the league.
Yeah, I'm sure he's playing the game. He's trying to leverage the most out of this. But again, like you think about what you could imagine, man, what if you had 3 first round picks this year?
I don't see how you could have more. Could
I'm
you
just
not?
Saying. I'm just saying. Like this
we
is
currently been, have. We currently have 2.
We have 2 right now.
So we could easily have a Markstrom.
You could easily have 3.
Yeah, you could even have 4 with Hanifin.
You could even have 5 with Chan. Oh. I'm just saying. Imagine? Like this is the. If they can nail this and then nail the draft picks, this is the kind of thing that, whether they want to call it rebuilding or not, this is the kind of thing that leads to a successful rebuild.
Well, he's starting to kind of hint at the... He's starting to publicly call it something, right? Retool on the fly, is that what he called it?
Call it a fucking retool, a rebuild, call it a candy apple shoved straight up my asshole. They're rebuilding because what they're doing is what they need to do, and what they will do is acquire a core group of players to build around who aren't the players who are here. That's a rebuild. And this is another point with like Dallas, right? Like, I don't think anyone would look and say, oh, Dallas rebuilt, but they did. You look at their team yep. 5 years ago and their team now, and it's not even the same team, and they're being led by guys they drafted who are in their 20s. Hintz, Robertson, Ottinger, Heiskanen, Wyatt Johnson, Ty Dellandrea, like they rebuilt and they were able to do it while staying like somewhat competitive. But hey, there was 2 years there where they didn't make the playoffs. They finished 6th in the Central. They picked 3rd overall 1 year. They had a bunch of picks that year they drafted Heiskanen and Robertson and Ottinger. So I don't care what you call it. The Flames need to and are going to acquire a young core of players to build around. And that's a rebuild in my eyes.
The latest name thrown into the trade rumor mill is Rasmus Anderson. I don't know much weight there is behind it, but do you recall where we saw this from?
Well, Kevin Weeks is, I think, the guy who threw it out there. I think right. He threw it out in the sense that teams are calling on Anderson, not necessarily that the Flames have like put him out there, but
yeah,
teams are calling. Yeah, and I mean, why not? Again, like there should be interest. There should be interest on everybody on the Flames. There's nobody on this team who would be untouchable who's not a kid.
How many years did they sign Weegar for?
It was max term, I believe.
He's having a great season. Offensively, anyways.
Yeah, he's...
So he's part of the future plan.
Well, sure. He's like... He's one of your... I like Weaker. He's not in the Huberto camp. But he's one of those veteran guys you'll have around. And in 5 years, when it's like nobody's left on the team except like two or three vets, it'll be like him and Kadri and Huberto.
He'll be the new Dennis Weidman. I don't mean he's gonna break an official's back.
Hey, he could. I said this in the. Jeez, you remember? Why is it always the Flames being involved in ridiculous shit, eh?
Weidman. Yeah, it's just gonna kill you now. For what?
I didn't see him. I didn't see him.
Oh yeah, cross check. Didn't see him. Oh, it's an accident. Never. Yeah.
Oops.
You should have at least said you blacked out, Dennis.
Weaker, I said this at the time. Weaker could be like the next Geo. I could see him being a Geo like guy.
Poor guy's dad dies.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
That's shitty. Thought we might as well mention that because he said his name.
Sorry, Geo. It wasn't even that old. It's Paul Giordano, good guy.
Shitty. So, what do you think? What is the percent? What would you say? Is it 100% guarantee Markstrom is traded this season? Is it a 90%? Where are you at?
I feel like, I don't know.
It's a matter of time?
It's got to be, like, with all the rumors.
As long as there's a good enough return, then yes, Connie will pull the trigger. But is that assured?
Yeah, I don't know if that's assured. I think that's probably what's holding it up right now. But again, like, if he can get... I think any return is good enough for me, maybe for him too. But given the fact that it is a big salary and that maybe there's only one or two teams who can give up what the Flames want, it's going to be a big deal. Maybe that does preclude it from happening in season. But you just feel like with all the rumors, it feels like just a matter of time.
Yeah. You know what? You did make a good point about all the trade rumors. Like you kind of get the sense by watching this team currently that they have come to the realization that it's not happening this
year. It's over.
And now you know, they know they're on the selling side of things. So I don't know. This is a big opportunity for Huska. I think this is a real opportunity as a coach to really lay down some new cultural, you know, goals moving forward of what kind of identity you want to have.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing you can do in this situation as a coach. That's the impact you can have on the team.
Yeah. And look.
So do a better job of it, please.
There's always an opportunity when there's no pressure. I mean, I think that's why they go on these 3 games win streaks.
Yep.
Because they just finished losing 4 or 5, and they're like, oh, fuck, we're out. No pressure. So just go out and play. When there's no blood pressure, we're actually pretty good.
Wow, you know? Huberto played really good in that
game. Oh, we're kind of right back in it. Pressure's back on. Can't handle it. Lose. But, all right, well, let's go to, I don't know, is there anything else left to talk about Hanifin?
I guess just where he goes.
Did we talk about the report from Friedman? This is official now. It was on the, was it on the 32 pot, 32 thoughts?
He announced it it was yesterday, Saturday? Yeah, it was just yesterday.
Yeah.
It was on Saturday Night Headlines.
Friedman officially reporting that he's getting plugs. Just kidding. He's already got them. Yeah, does he? Yeah, he's just one of the back there though. Or he's just pulled George.
Why don't you just get a rug?
Just get a rug.
Good for you.
You're
Jack.
Bald. I was bald. Direction, I was bald. All right. As per Elliott, Hanifin is expected not to re-sign with the Flames. So it's official now. Hanifin and his camp and his family, they had their little window of opportunity to decide what they wanted to do. Again, kudos to Craig. This is something that we did not see Brad Tree Living do. Gee, Johnny, you have to let us know what you're going to do.
We're just going to wait.
Believe in the group. Milk and cookies, dissect the carcass. Got to dig through it. Shopping mall, hot tarmac, throwing bodies out there.
Dude, picket the carcass. I remember watching him at the draft, like when we still thought Gaudreau and Tkachuk were going to sign. Fuck, I hate that guy so much. And everyone's asking about it. He's like, it's process. It's process. Yeah, you take your time. It's a process. And, so it's a process. 2 weeks later, the whole team's falling apart.
2 weeks later, the franchise is fucking destroyed.
Idiot.
Gets a promotion. Gee, we really like the work they did there in Calgary. Yeah, Brad, why don't you come ruin our team?
Hey, he's doing it. He's doing a good job.
Slowly but surely. If you didn't have the fucking world's greatest goal scorer on your team, like, does Matthews have more goals than Huberto has points? Is that a safe?
Dude, he's got, like, what? How many goals does he have?
46 or 7 now?
Yeah, Huberto's got 32 points. He's got 48 goals.
48 now. What, he scored 2 goals last night? Jeez, man. He is insane. Huberto. What does Austin Matthews make?
Dude, he has more goals than anybody on our team has points. Kadri leads the team at 45 points. Matthews has 48 goals. I don't know. I think he makes like 8. What is it? 11? I think his cap hit is like 11 million this year, but his extension kicks in. It's more than Connor's. It's like 13.2 or something. But still only like 2. Still like 2.5 more than Huberto. Dude, it's the worst contract ever signed in the NHL, and it's not even close.
Huberto's is?
Yeah.
Fuck. Good job, Brad. Good job, Brad. Although I must say, the tide seems to be turning, and the more that the ship sinks, the more people seem to come to the conclusion that Brad,
yeah,
really kind of stunk.
We really only talked about it for like 5 years, and I was like telling people, like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Boo! He does so.
Yeah, he blew that one. What was he supposed to do?
Only took the complete decimation of our team, forcing us into a rebuild for people to clue in that he maybe wasn't the best general manager. But hey, if all this is worth it to prove my point that Brad Tree Living was not a good GM, then so be it.
That's like marrying out of spite, eh?
Yeah.
I'll marry her if I have to.
I'll do anything out of spite. Why are you so driven? I make every decision. I'm driven by spite. Spite, hey, it's a great motivator, you know?
Yeah, you really can be used for motivation, Canada.
Yeah, it's accomplish anything with spite.
Hell, I'll take an Oilers Cup if it proves the point. What year is the new rink scheduled for?
What, 2027, maybe?
All right, so Connor's got a 3-year plan in place.
Hey, it's better than a 0-year plan.
Perfect. And you still have, I get it, Markstrom's great. But you still have a lot of people like, no, don't trade him. What will the team look like without him? Why would you keep him?
What does the team look like with him? We're in 24th.
We're mid. We're below mid with him.
We're getting, the best that's goal. The thing. Yeah, exactly.
With one of the league's best goaltending, we still suck balls.
We're getting past the point of like, oh, the Flames are mid. We stink. We're 24th in the league.
We can't beat bad teams.
We're not mid anymore. We're bad. So if you're bad with the best goalie, exactly. Like, whoa, we can't trade. You can trade him. You can, you will. You can, you should, and you will.
And you must. So right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We picked 9th currently.
Fuck yes. And imagine you trade Markstrom, tumble down a little bit further.
Get Wolf in there.
Perfect time to get him in there.
Do you think, I don't know, like, let's go back to Wolf for a sec. Because obviously, if you trade Markstrom, Wolf is now, you got, what, 30 games left in the season? Wolf's going to, what, share the load? At least get 10?
Well, I think the other thing to consider, like, let's say it is a New Jersey trade. You're probably taking Vanacek back for cap reasons. So you would have another NHL goalie probably on the roster.
That would make sense. That would make sense.
So I don't
you
know
think,
if it's...
You think Vanacek?
Yeah.
He's the worst of the three or which, what?
Well, he's the most expensive and the oldest. Like, which, like, honestly, if you look at his numbers, like, he hasn't been that half bad throughout his career. He probably wouldn't even be that bad of a pickup. But I would imagine there... And this is just me speculating. I'd imagine there would be a goalie coming back, and it would be Vanacek if it was a New Jersey trade. So you wouldn't necessarily have him split the load or take on the more load, but you would need to get him into more games than one every 2 months.
I love how it's just, I don't know, man. Like, is there that much lack of rational, logical thinking of just like the people absolutely jumping to conclusion after the loss of the Sharks that Wolf couldn't possibly play in the NHL.
Yeah, it was
ever. Ever. Never gonna happen. What? I mean, never gonna happen. We've seen fuck all. That is fuck all.
He's the best AHL goalie to ever play. Just relax.
Yeah, but AHL doesn't translate to NHL. Since
oh,
when?
Yeah. Oh, okay. It doesn't, eh?
Oh, yeah, it doesn't. Is that why you call up all your players from there?
Yeah. That's why it's the second best league in North America. Okay.
Sure. That's where everybody goes to develop. That's why. Is that why nothing translates ever? That's how that works. I'm not sitting here guaranteeing you Wolf's going to be.
Who's going to get? Yeah, you can't guarantee jack shit.
We don't know. All I know is you can't fucking write him off for that one fucking performance we saw there, Nate. It's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Yeah, I went to shoulder walk and I slipped on some ice and, you know, I hurt my butt. You can never walk outside again. It's obvious.
Yeah,
Twitter can't be done.
Online fandom is a wild place, eh?
Well, look at those goals. Like that one. Went off someone's stick and bounced, like it just arced over his head. Like
Tanev puts it in his own net. There's a half breakaway.
I don't know what happened on the skate hit a rut, or like that was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I've never seen a goalie fall like that. And I would say that's the goalie's fault. But even still, just a weird fucking game. Did he look bad? Yeah, he looked bad. Did he look small? Yeah, he looked really small. But you know, we're used to watching 6'6" Jacob Markstrom. What's the diameter?
It's like 6 inches easy.
What's the diameter? But like from shoulder to shoulder, Markstrom fills up a lot of the net. Plus, he's playing unreal hockey, so he covers
like
a lot of net.
Freaking linebacker in the net.
Exactly. And he's playing well. We've seen Markstrom look that big with beach balls going through him.
Yeah, like how about take a chunk of last year's at any point last year, Markstrom's game. I guarantee 50% of Markstrom's performances last season were as bad as the game Wolf put in against the Sharks.
No shit. At least he saved the first shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck. All right, let's look at the schedule real quick. You got...
Well, I guess we should just quickly touch on what's going to happen with Hanifin too. I don't know. It's just essentially that's where he ends up.
You think that's a done deal? Well, obviously we know what's happening.
It's happening.
There's no way by the end of the season that Noah Hanifin will be a Calgary Flame. Do you think he goes to Boston? It's probably where he would like to go.
Well, it's going to depend on the return, and where he ends up is probably going to depend on if there's a sign and trade in place.
What do you think the most probable return is? And what do you think the most the best possible return is if you really had someone that really had a need.
Well, it's okay, if it's a sign and trade, then I think you're probably looking for, on a list wise at least, similar to what you got for Lindholm. But if it's a sign and trade, you're probably looking for more.
Which, is it safe to assume that that's currently in the works? That's what Craig's working hard on right now.
I'd imagine that's top of mind, because now that's out of the bag, that he's not re-signing, like, that's a fire. That's a shit show, right?
Yeah. If you really want to maximize your return, now you start working with player and agent. Look, it's not like he's need to focus on hockey anyways. And maybe that's partially what's happening. Man, did he look bad the way the last couple games. Hanifin, you got all these scouts at these games. There's Hanifin just giving the fuck away to the other player for an open net fucking...
Against the Sharks, it's like, whoa. Dave Nonis has apparently spent like the whole week in Boston. He's been at the last three games that the Bruins have played.
Oh,
I don't know if he's...
I really trust this guy to tell us who we need on our team.
The Flames accounting department is going to be billed like $1,000. Why did he spend $1,000 at Clam Chowder this week? What the fuck's going on? Dave's just been on a chowder bender.
30 pounds worth of lobster. Holy fuck, Dave. Could you tone it down to the lobster?
Ah, lobster. I don't know. They seem to be scouting Boston. I mean, that's a natural. He's from there, obviously. I don't know if Boston would want him or would have the assets to get him. I know Frank threw out a list the other day, but it kind of just seemed like a...
his own little put-together mishmash.
Yeah, exactly. Like maybe
did he do it on the back of his Red Lobster napkin?
him and Dave are just having dinner at Red Lobster.
It's probably more like McDonald's.
He said like Tampa would be interested, which that actually makes sense to me.
Yep.
Because Sergachev is out. Tampa, he threw
Brad's in on it.
Brad for sure. He mentioned Toronto, obviously. Do we even have to say that? Brad,
no, Toronto will be on every single trade list from here on out.
They won't get
for the rest of his tenure.
I guarantee Brad will like end up with like a Kevin Rooney type guy. Guarantee
100%. Two of them, three of them, four of them.
Yeah. One is never enough, boy, that
Revo signing sure has not paid off.
He still signed for two more years, dude.
Holy shit, dude, I love it. Do any Leafs fans like him?
I don't think the veil is worn a lot thinner and quicker than it ever did here. It took 10 years for people to be like, this guy's full of shit. In Toronto, they're already like, what's with this guy?
Well, you go from Dubas to fucking tree living.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to get tough. We need to be tough to play against. And
dissect the carcass. Throw a body out in the tarmac.
Toronto has no cap space left. I wonder how that happened, because Brad couldn't control himself.
Who the fuck possibly could have put them in that situation? Hey, you and I were texting about this. What's going on with Domi and Bertuzzi? Those guys aren't working out.
This is what I said in the offseason. I think they've been okay. I don't think they've scored a lot. Like, again, like yours, without Austin Matthews, they'd be in trouble. Obviously, he's like been insane. But Domi only has like 6 goals. Bertuzzi only has like 5. I think they've been okay. But like I said in the offseason, did Brad address the needs of the Toronto Maple Leafs? He certainly did not. He signed John Klingberg. He did what he always does, shiny new toys.
Yeah.
For like, oh, toughness and all the shit. And he never actually addresses the needs of the team.
Yeah. He's like,
same old story.
I don't know what it would be like, but you know that meme where it's the girl walking with his girlfriend? He's looking over his shoulder. The hot girl just walked by. That's like Brad, eh? It's just like, His girlfriend is supposed to be building through the draft, but he's just always looking over at free agents.
Always looking at free agents who you don't need.
I got the money, though, burning a hole in my pocket. I gotta spend that. I gotta spend all of it. Frank, if I'm not spending all my money, then what am I doing?
Why would I save to have flexibility at the trade deadline to acquire a player I need? Can't do it. Frank threw out Vegas as a team who'd be interested in Hanifin.
Hell yeah.
I can see that. I'm sure there's plenty of teams who will be lined up. So I think this is just a question of if it's a sign and trade and then what the return.
You would think it would have to be. That's how Craig can maximize this.
Yeah, right? And I think that's how why another team would be interested. And that probably does limit the market a little bit, because from the sounds of it, there are only a few handful of teams. Obviously, it's not like he's I'll go anywhere and sign there.
Does he have a no trade?
No.
Okay, good.
But if he says, okay, I'm not going to negotiate
the
contract with this team, then I'm not going to do that. So
exactly.
I still think there's the Venn diagram of teams who would want Hanifin and teams who would be at least somewhat desirable trade partners are still big enough that I think the Flames should do very well here.
All right, what are we getting back?
Well, you're getting a first, I would hope, for sure. Hey. Yeah. And then depending on the team, I know the Flames are still looking for guys who can kind of like play, you know, like
current like another Kuzmenko guy.
You'd hopefully be younger, maybe mid as opposed to late. And a prospect. Does that seem?
I want a stud, man. I want someone to be excited about.
It'd be cool to see like a one for one, like Hanifin for a really good young player.
That would be cool.
I think if that's what you can turn that into, that'd be great. Maybe you can do that with Tanev. Maybe you can.
I'm hoping
you can do that with Markstrom.
But, well, I guess, you know, not necessarily. If you got a nice young stud, like you said, it might even be better than a first, than more draft picks.
Well, the fact
is. Because then you have more assurance of that like, player turning out.
Brad tried to do this with Dougie Hamilton, but I think he obviously got way too ahead of himself, where he was deficit spending to get guys like that, where he was going, I'm going to trade our first in a year where we'd be picking like 13th, 14th overall for a guy who's already a great player at 22. We're going to get him, but we're going to be out of first. Craig is obviously not going to be deficit spending, and he's not giving up firsts to get players like that. If you can turn a player on your team into a player like that, as opposed to your own first round draft pick into a ready-made player who's 22, 23, 24, that's a way different story and much more desirable.
So if it's not a one for one, what do you think we get back?
I'd say you'd probably get a player, and it's probably going to be similar to the Lindholm deal, I'd imagine, with maybe somebody a little bit younger than Kuzmenko coming back.
Yep.
But you're probably getting maybe like a better prospect than Brustevich. I would imagine that would be like, okay, you're getting a player signed.
I still can't believe how much they got back for Lindholm for being a rental. It's fucking a rental.
It's great.
Jeez. No wonder Craig nailed that one, dude.
Just nailed it.
Just fucking walk right up to the plate. First swing. All right, anybody else? Tanev. The Tanev talk has kind of gone quiet.
It sure has.
Have you seen this? Is it just Oilers fans? Has there actually been legit connections with the Oilers and Tanev? Obviously, he's a what's his name? What's the GM there again?
Tweedle dumbass Ken Holland.
Ken Holland. This is right up his alley. He loves these types of guys, doesn't he?
It would have to be a massive overpay for the Flames to consider going to the Oilers. I haven't seen anything legit. I still feel like the Oilers are kind of in their little, we can't mess with the chemistry, boop-a-doop-a-doo shit. Let's just hope they don't go acquire like Jake Guentzel or something. Watching Patrick Kane yesterday, I'm so glad the Oilers did not get Patrick Kane. Holy shit.
Still got it. Imagine him on the power play with fucking Connor and
still. Still got it, man. Holy cow. I've heard that a team in the Western Conference does have an offer for Tanev on the table, but that Craig is holding out for more.
This is another one that 100% gets done, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you're Craig, every game he plays is a fucking... He gets banged up every game.
Dude, how many times did he go down the tunnel in the road trip? Like every game, twice.
Thank God he's a fucking warrior.
When do we play? We play tomorrow afternoon. And then do we play a lot this week? So, you think it'd be easy to open up the schedule on this goddamn app?
I got it here. It's Winnipeg Monday, Boston Thursday.
Okay, so we have three games this week, but Tuesday, Wednesday off.
The Edmonton Oilers Saturday.
Ugh.
And then LA Kings to finish off the last game of the month. I don't think you're winning any one of these games coming up, dude. Maybe they squeak out a win against Winnipeg because they're gonna want to put their best foot forward. They might catch Winnipeg, but I'm actually, have we played Winnipeg yet this year? I'm actually kind of looking forward to see Winnipeg and what they got cooking.
How many days? Yeah.
You're obviously going to do a playoff. You got some emotional incentive there, cheering for Monty. It's gonna be nice to see Monty come back, eh?
Yeah, Stars tonight is a great place. And so yeah, I grew up here and I can't wait. A lot of adversity.
Got a lot of memories, a lot of emotion right now. I feel so much emotion right now. It's really emotional right now. I don't even know, and to zoom in, there's like one single tear drop.
One tear.
Ping, makes a ping noise when it hits the ground. Fucking beauty, eh?
I love Monahan. Let's just, we're just going to pretend.
We're not going to think
about that first we gave up the year to him until we have to deal with
we're
that.
We're not going to, oh God.
We're not thinking about it until we have to think about it. Where no one's thinking. It's in the back of everybody's mind though.
Starts tonight. Remember that retro,
it's retro night.
That little retro video of, him and Johnny and pulling Chucky up in that sports car, and Chucky just puts down the shades like, wow.
Fuck, those are the days, man.
Right? I was just saying, that's like peak Flames fan happiness right there.
And you know what? Four. Everyone is fucking complaining the whole time, which is pissed. Oh, they suck. Oh,
and Johnny, too small.
Chuck never needed to. Monahan, never gets it done in the playoffs. No playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, but we got Huber though.
Oh, he's like Johnny Gaudreau, but he's bigger, stronger.
Point per game. Last 7 points per game. Goes on a 5-game dry spell.
Dude, so this happens all the time. So I post like post-game breakdowns all the time on Instagram, and it'll be like, oh, Huberto had 3 points, and the comments will all be like, Hubie is so back. And my response will be like, I think this is like the 500th time you said that. It's like every five games, he's like back, and then he's gone for 10 games.
He sure comes back a lot.
He's back.
Where is he going? Where is he going all the time that he has to come back every fucking time?
Hubie's back.
Hubie's gone. Where does he go? We should start... is he just missing in action? Is he MIA? Is he back on planet fucking whatever it is?
My anger for him has just been totally repressed at this point. I'm just like, whatever, sunk cost, don't care.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Same
can,
with fireplay.
Can you really go? Yeah, exactly. 1-2.
0-10. 0-10, yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah.
It's like, dude, it's 3 weeks till trade deadline. You cannot risk playing Chris Tanev for 3 more weeks.
No, just start healthy scratching every night.
3, 4, 5, 6. You have 7 games before trade deadline. Can you really afford to play Chris Tanev in 7 games?
No.
I would trade him or you have to start sitting him.
Look at who your competition is, too. Winnipeg, they play hard as nails. Boston, I mean, they skill as shit. Edmonton, watch. Edmonton will be the team that injures them.
Probably.
LA Kings, oh, they're back.
Corey Perry will nail them or something.
Corey Perry will probably stick him in the balls, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
And then the Oilers broadcast will laugh about it. And then McDavid will feign a high stick and they'll, just a little shave job and they'll be fucking losing it. Oh my God! Ron McLean.
Oh, Connor.
Here's fuck, that was so funny, the last one. Here's a poem by Lord Byron. Explain how I'm feeling.
Not even a joke.
Oh boy.
Yeah, to me, like obviously, like Tanev is kind of taking a back burner, but Craig's got his hands full here in the next week.
He has a lot of work to do here.
Like, you want to?
He shouldn't even bother watching the games at this point.
No, does he have to? They're usually the same anyways.
Right. So can I just get the calls and outs? Craig, we sucked again. Oh, thanks.
What did Huberto do? -3. Oh, perfect. Yeah. Awesome.
How was the power play? Don't even ask.
Dude, it's so sad, but there's no way Mark Savard has a job next year. Like, what a disappointment. Is this like, okay.
Are you kidding me? It's the Calgary. Do you remember in this? The guy is getting a promotion, bro.
He'll probably be head of power play operations for the next 10 years.
Yes. He'll be promoted to head coach.
Do you remember in the summer just all the fucking bullshit about Daryl's gone? We're going to open it up offensively. We're going to let the skill reign supreme. We're going to be bebopping and scatting that puck all over the fucking ice. It's going to be incredible. Huberto is going to be able to do whatever he wants at all times. Going to be so dangerous. Oh, fuck, do we suck at scoring on the power play.
Wow, Huberto sucks still. Oh, man. Oh, wow, we're actually not good at defense now without our Hall of Fame coach. Huh. Oh, wow. We don't even show up to play at home anymore. Huh. Oh, yep. No, not much accountability. Oh, Huberto got sat. He's going to be back.
Can't wait for the response game.
Just looks at his stick for 5 minutes.
The amount of slack that guy gets is too much. Like the point per game.
It's done and over with now. Yeah. Everybody's just sick about talking about it. Like you said, what did you call the sunk cost? Yeah, move on. Where else do we suck? Well, what's the next biggest problem?
He's a $10.5 million write-off.
Oh, fuck. Thanks, Brad. Fuck, were we stoked in the moment, though, eh?
Well, I mean, it was a survival response.
Yes, it was.
It was like a mirage. It was like you're in the desert, and you suddenly see this tropical oasis.
Exactly.
Jump into it, and it's a fucking mirage. Alligator rips your dick off. No, not really in the desert. Yeah, no dick.
It's like Jimmy Gaffigan when he has his fifth baby. Just imagine you're drowning, and someone hands you a baby.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what Huberto was. Yeah, well, he's gonna fix it. No, actually, we're actually fucked now.
We're totally screwed.
We're rebuilding now.
Watching the trajectory of the Panthers and us just go in inverse directions is just so funny to me.
Is this funny though?
No, it's sad. But I guess if I don't laugh, I'll kill myself.
Choice, yes. If you don't laugh, then you're pulling the revolver out at midnight. Shouldn't say that because somebody today was just telling me about somebody killed himself, so it's probably not something good to joke about. Yeah, fuck. Not something good to joke about, I guess. All right, moving on to a less depressing topic. The power play.
No, the power play is very pressing, actually.
Yes, that's not the joke. 0-10, bro. How's it look, though? They're moving around good, aren't they? I love the comments.
Yeah, they're just whipping it around. They're whipping it around.
I don't know. I kind of like Noah up there. He just whips it around.
Yeah, what do you want up there? You want somebody to shoot up there?
At least they took Rasmus Anderson off power play one.
Yeah, thank God.
Do you think it's a thing? Is this a legit thing? They're just trying to boost his trade? You know,
hey, why not?
Look at that. All-star game, Lindholm. Oh, look at
scouts are in the building. They know people are watching. I can see that being legit.
Sure. We will ride him on PP1 until the trade occurs.
Why the hell not? I'm really itching for this. I hope this, at least one of these deals gets done like this week.
Dude, you would kind of, well, I don't know. I guess some teams like to wait till the deadline, but.
Well, the Markstrom one you'd imagine is Markstrom and Hanifin, you'd imagine, are both too complicated to not be done pre-deadline. Yep. Right?
Plus, it kind of, you get a sense that the window is right now. Yeah,
like with Jersey,
especially like with Jersey. Like if they want him, they got to get him now.
And you want it to happen before their goaltenders start playing well. And they're like, well, maybe.
Or they fall out of it, or exactly. A little bit. Time strikes now on Markstrom if you're going to do it.
I think probably because of the window thing, the Markstrom, he should be getting that one done first.
Yeah. And because it's a huge cloud. Like it really is. Because like with Tanev, even with Tanev, that was it was kind of like, you know, that's going to happen. Now that the Hanifin thing's out of the bag, and like you were saying, like the guys kind of know, like, yeah, this is it. The Markstrom one is kind of the one that's hanging over the team because it's kind of the one that just came out of nowhere. He's still got term left. He's a big part of that team in the dressing room, probably more so than anybody else.
Fuck it, blow it all up, bro.
And that's really once Markstrom's gone, that really gives you a definitive, like, yeah, it's over, boys.
Yep. Plug has been pulled.
Yeah.
We're not calling it a rebuild, though.
We're not. We're just it's a revamp. On the fly.
Yeah, revamp. They're going to come up with some new term, eh?
Yeah.
Rekindle. We're calling it Rekindle.
So stupid.
That's actually a sweet name. What did you think of the Coleman comments?
Well, I mean, they're accurate, weren't they?
I don't have the quote in front of me.
Well, he essentially said, like, now that we've got a couple guys who were very vocal about not being wanting to stay.
Well, this is when they went on the 3-game heater.
Yeah.
If you want to call it that.
Hey, they're throwing all kinds of quotes on the 3-game heater. Hyenas can take down a lion.
Right? Like, no wonder we were like, we're so back. Just when I think we're out, they pull me back in. Hey? I can't wait to be so back after next week.
Yeah. We'll win 3 in a row here. And
no, we're not.
Hubie's been, it's over.
Yeah. It's over, dude.
We're calling it. We're calling it right here today.
This little song and dance, this little swinging of strings of loss, then we're done. Yeah, we're calling it today. Yeah. We're gonna lose.
I agree.
I'm gonna say, okay, here's the competition coming up for the end of February. Winnipeg, Boston, Edmonton, LA. There's possible 8 points. I'm gonna say the over under set at 2. Boston is, you're not beating Boston again. That's fresh in their memory. You're not beating the Oilers because you just can't do that. It's impossible. The Kings are so back. Maybe you get a point from the Kings. I don't know, the Winnipeg game. Maybe you get a point from Winnipeg. I don't know, man. I just see 2 out of 8 points to finish off the month here.
Well, especially with all the speculation swirling, they can't seem to get their heads on straight for these games. These are good teams. Yeah, I don't see it happening.
Okay, man. Did we cover everything?
Yeah, I think so.
Anything else on the Dustin Wolf front?
No, he had a really good game last night. I think he was like the first star. He had like 31 saves. He was very, very good.
Oh, but that's the AHL.
No, DHL, it's no good.
No, doesn't mean a thing.
I like how it's like, yeah, it's either he's the AHL doesn't mean anything, but the same people, he's not ready for the NHL. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So which is it?
Both sides of your mouth. Let's just talk about both sides. All the time. All right, man. Since we've started this thing, well, this is season 5, right?
Yeah.
And if you've been with us the whole time, kudos. Kudos and thank you. I think we can probably make the next announcement. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Go ahead. Should I make an announcement? You want to make the announcement?
You're the announcer guy.
I'm the announcer guy. We'll be joining the Flames Nation Network probably by the next podcast. There will be video available if you want to see our ugly mugs. That'll be a new thing. Hopefully some collabs. And we're really pressing hard to get Connie on, folks. And it sounds like we might have a good little...
We've been pressing hard for a while.
He said he was coming on.
I know.
But then he kind of no-showed where he just...
He's probably busy trading.
He probably listened to a fucking episode. That's what happened, to be honest. But
probably my bad on that.
But it sounds like we'll be.
Let's tune into this little show that wants us to come on. What the fuck was that Toffoli trade? I can't believe how stupid this team is. What an idiot.
Conroy has a lot to prove.
But he's been doing well. So that'll be a nice little progression. Yeah, I think that's all I have to say on that. So you got four more games to close out the month. And trade deadline is on the 8th of March.
Yeah, I can't wait. This is the most excited I've been since. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yep.
This has been a long time coming, this rebuild.
And well, hey, we've been talking about it for
ever.
Because we've been in and out of the playoffs. And you saw these dominoes that Brad has just been setting up for years. And now their one's been knocked. The dominoes is in effect.
House of cards.
Brad's house of cards is coming to its final collapse.
And just remember where you were, like, because you can get bummed out about it, whatever. Like, just remember how excited you were. Like, the Iginla era ended, and it was like, oh, fuck. But then all of a sudden, you had this kid, Gaudreau, and it was like, holy shit, look at this kid. He's tearing it up. Then we drafted Monahan. We had Bennett to be excited about. We drafted Kachuk shortly thereafter. It all happened pretty quick. So the doom and gloom, I think, is always overblown with, like, oh, we're rebuilding.
Well, it's not a scorched earth. You already have some exciting pieces.
I think we'll be pretty excited pretty quick.
Yeah.
Even if we're not contending for the Stanley Cup, there will be a lot more reasons to watch this team in the next 3 years than there have been the last two.
I mean, you should be able to get, what, one, maybe two studs in this upcoming draft. Hopefully. And guys you can start to get excited about before even the new rink is built.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.